All right, turn in your Bible to John 14, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The last 2 weeks we examined the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit as our counselor. As our counselor. Amen. How many of you have been counseling with the Holy Spirit? Amen. And so today we're going to examine and explore the Holy Spirit's role as and ministry as our helper. Everybody say helper. All right, so we're using the same scriptures that we used previously, and you guys can go to the first slide. And then John 14, 15 through 17, it says in verse 26, we're reading out of the Amplified Classic translation, the Amplified Classic. It says, and I will ask the Father, Jesus is talking, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper. Everybody say helper. Intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world could not welcome, take into its heart. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. They have to receive Jesus first. See, there's one gift to the world, the sinner, it's Jesus, the gift of salvation. But there's one gift for the believer that we need to receive, and Jesus said he is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we receive the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Because it does not see him nor and know or recognize him, for you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 26, it says, but the comforter, counselor, helper, everybody say helper, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. Who's going to teach you all things? The Holy Spirit, the helper, the helper. You're not helpless. You have somebody that can help teach you. Amen. All things, right? Amen. Isn't that what he said? And he will cause you to recall. He will remind you of, bring it to your remembrance, everything I have told you. Amen. John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7 says, it says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth, but when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, helper, everybody say helper. Say it again, helper. Everybody say helper. Advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you, but in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be close in close fellowship with you. So Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit should be in close fellowship with you. Now, unfortunately, people sometimes, and Christians too often, have regressed and gone back into saying, well, nobody's helping me. Nobody's paying attention to me. I'm having all these struggles. Nobody understands me. And that's a lie out of the pit of hell. That's a lie from the devil. When you got someone who's living inside of your spirit, permanent resident inside of your spirit, the greatest helper you ever need, but yet we're looking out here for somebody to help me. We're pulling on our spouse. We're pulling on our friends. We're pulling on our family members. Trying to say, help me, help me. When we haven't said, help me, Holy Spirit. And right not too far from where you are, the help will begin to rise up. Like we always pray, rise up big within me. The Holy Spirit is a big helper. In fact, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best helper. Because when Jesus said, I'm sending you, he said, he's going to counsel you. Sure, he's going to talk to you. He's going to confide in you. He's going to consult with you. But he's also going to help you. This is his Greek word, parakletos, which means he's the Holy Spirit, as he concludes Dr. William Barclay, who was a Bible scholar, said, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's also our helper. He's also our helper and our strengthener. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. Now, if you can catalog or recall what the Holy Spirit helped you with last week. Could you list it? Or is the Holy Spirit standing silently by as a gentleman, that as a gentleman that he is, saying, looking at you, saying, waiting for you to ask him to help? He's not a bully. He's not a force to pressure you. But when you say, help me, he comes to your aid. He comes to your assistance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Well, the first help, one of the helps the Holy Spirit helps us with, next slide, guys, is to help us be a witness. Everybody say a witness. Look at this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Now, this word power is the Greek word dunamis, which means like dynamite, mighty deed, mighty work, miraculous power, resurrection power. So that means this is the most power that exists in the universe. But when you see you receive power, that kind of power and ability, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Now, the context of chapter 1 of Acts is that the disciples were asking Jesus, are you coming back to take over the Roman government? Because we can't stand the government oppressing us. Are you going to come back and be the king right now? We know you came first as the lamb. Jesus came as the lamb to be slain, to die for our sins, to redeem us from our sins. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. So he came to die for our sins. He came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. So the disciples thinking, okay, Lord, let's just speed this up. Are you coming back to as a lion? Are you coming back to take over? Are you coming back to take charge? He said, no, those times are not in your hands or mine. That's in the Father's hands. But you're going to receive that power to be a witness that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is raised from the dead. Come on now. You get a power to share that power and show that power to the world around you. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit helps Jesus' followers be witnesses. Now think about that word power again. Ability, might, efficiency to be a witness. Witness is someone who gives factual testimony. Attestation, attestation of a fact or event. Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is risen from the dead. People need to see that. They need to hear that through and from our lives and from our lips. They need to see it in our lives and hear it from our lips that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is alive. Come on now. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he's exalted at the right hand of the Father. Amen. It is one who furnishes evidence or proof. We witness Jesus' love. We witness Jesus' life. We witness Jesus' lordship and his resurrection. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at what it says in the Amplified Classic. We got that up there. No, I don't have it up there. Let me listen. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Everybody said witnesses. Now, Jesus personalizes my witnesses because he's Lord, right? How many of Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior? Now, you know, lordship means he decides. He decides for you. It means ruler. It means owner. It means master. It means, in context, controller. That means the one who gets to tell you what to do, tell you what to decide. You belong to the Lord. You know the biggest challenge to our decision making and our direction in life in 2025? We talked about it on Wednesday. It's what? Our body, our flesh. Every day you decide, who am I going to yield to? See, some people remember, the ways to raise their hand, remember, the day I said and accepted what? Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Well, you know you have to confess Jesus as Lord. That's the greatest and the great confession you need to make every day. Jesus is Lord. Come on, y'all say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That means I surrender to your lordship. I surrender to your leadership. Every day and in every way. Amen. In the Bible days, they used to bow down or kneel and say, Lord, you're the master. I surrender and I yield to your leadership, to your lordship, to your master ruler over my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. But what gets in the way is our flesh. So we decide what we want to do. We have to practice lordship. Say practice? Do you think those football teams that are playing today, there's four left, do you think they went a whole week without practicing for today's games? I know some of y'all are not into football. That's okay. But, you know, a band, let's just say a band's playing. Do you think a band just gets together and just starts beating their equipment and blowing through their horns and stuff? They have to put in some practice, right? To be a witness that they're a good band. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Do you think those movies and the TV shows that you and I watch occasionally, did they show up and just start ad-libbing and, you know, just running off at the mouth? They had a script. They had a playwright. They have people that direct the scene on that acting scene, and they have to go through what? Practice. Practice. But sometimes when we get turned into a Christian, we think, I don't have to practice. So you see here, we have a job to do by doing the works of Jesus, speaking and sharing Jesus' words. And, you know, Barna said last year, people don't share their faith. Now it's 1.5 times a year, but it's gone down to one. One time a year. The average Christian shares their faith one time a year. Is that practicing being a witness? And I could almost agree, because it struggles for people to share the message or share the church service. What gets in the way? I don't want to. I'm still deciding for my life. I'm 60, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever you're old. I do what I want. Jesus is not Lord in that situation. Amen. Come on, y'all here with me? We got to worship Jesus with our lifestyle and willing service to the kingdom. We say, Lord, I'm yours to command and control. You basically unlearn the habit of doing everything you want to do or you decide to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? Because, see, he gives us the ability. He gives us the efficiency. He gives us the might to do what? To have four mission reaches where we tell our story of transformation. That's why he gives us time on the earth. We're not here just to babble on and run off at the mouth. We're to tell about people about Jesus. Our story of transformation. What is that? Our testimony about Jesus and the good news of the gospel. Time's running out, ladies and gentlemen. Time is short. We must be about our what? Our Father's business, our Lord's business. Praise God. And so we tell what? Who was I before Christ? Most of our family members know that. And friends know that. That's Jerusalem. That's the first missional reach. My immediate and extended family and close friends know who I was before Christ, because I told them how I was, who I was before Christ. And then I tell people, because of Christ and his love and his life and his light in my life, praise God, and his lordship in my life, because of Christ, this is who I am. This is what I am. And this is the glorious good future I have in Christ and with Christ. And I want you to join me. Praise God. How many times did you share your story of his glory in your life? We share our story of transformation because we're not trying to make ourselves look good. We're here to make him look good. Every time we serve, every time we do an act, because the Lord has led us or told us to do this, serve this, give this, surrender this, is a testimony of his lordship and his goodness. Praise the Lord. And then we go to Jerusalem. We get our immediate extended family taken care of. You know, Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, he said, I use my faith one by one, all the way out to my second and third cousin. Everybody in our family should know we're deeply in love with Jesus. Everybody in our family should know that we're extremely loyal to Jesus. Now this right here, they'll pull on this. You loyal to your family? Stay home from church. God don't mind if you miss a couple of church services. Come on now. Are y'all here? Somebody say praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this morning? All right. And then Samaria, people strangers you don't know. So you're not just walking into Walmart or Target or HEB or Costco or Sam's Club with just blinders on your eyes. You're not open and yielded to let the Holy Spirit minister to you and help you be a witness to somebody else who may be having suicidal thoughts or having a rough time in their life right on the next aisle or the same aisle that you are in. You so in a hurry to go get your stuff and come back home and stay in your what we call Christian bubble. Amen. Somebody said praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ends of the earth. That means we get involved in missions. We get involved in missions work, ministry work that's doing bigger and better things, perhaps because they have the capacity to do it, not because they're better than us, that they're just bigger than us. Everybody get that, right? When I say higher ministries or bigger ministries, I'm not talking about better ministries. I'm talking about just ministries that are doing bigger things because they have the bigger capacity. They're able to put schools in. They're able to do missionary work. They're either get people saved where we can't go physically and don't have the capacity to reach. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Whoo, come on, lift your hands and thank God for a minute. The Holy Spirit's telling me something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoo. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I was going to bring it up Wednesday night, but I'll just bring it up now. The Holy Spirit just kind of prompted me on it. Turn with me in your Bible. I know it's not on the scriptures, so you can just turn to the next slide, guys, and then I'll just speak to what I'm talking about. Why did we start off talking about Romans 12:1? We said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, the Lord had been dealing with me, and I've been dictating from him and trying to ask him, what's the answer, Lord? What's the answer, Lord? You know, and I'm going to get back to this in just a second. But in Romans chapter 2, verse 13, I heard Pastor Mark Hankins say this, and I heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne say it. And it lit me up when Mark Hankins said it, and lit me up when Pastor Nancy said it. Two powerful men and women of God. And it was how they dealt with their flesh. Look at what it says here. Does everybody have it? New King James Version, Philippians 2:13. I'll start at 12 in New Living. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but not more in my absence, work out. Everybody say work. Everybody say work. Come on, y'all, say work. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works. Everybody say God is works. In you to both will and do of it for his good pleasure. Underline or highlight the word work in verse 13. And the will and do. Circle that. Circle that or underline that. Will and do. You can highlight the whole verse. Will and do. Now, Pastor Mark Hankins said this. He said that every time he'd drive his kids to school, he would quote those verses, along with a couple other ones. Because he wanted to raise kids who wanted to go to school, but also who wanted to grow and stay loyal to the Lord. We say some of the biggest travesties, and we've seen it over the last year and last years, and the greatest tragedies is when people go to school and become, kids go to school and become ungodly. Because they listen to ungodly stuff, particularly in public schools or public universities. And some of the private universities just as worse. Sometimes people go through professional education and professional certifications, and they forget God exists. Now, Nancy put it a different way. She was at Southwest Believers Convention, and she said she heard a minister, the Holy Spirit led her and told her, you need to be in that class. She was planning on missing that one of those sessions. Now, our sister here has been there quite a bit. We've been there only a couple times, but they have five services a day except for the Saturday service. I think they have two, the partner in the healing school and then the night service. So you're thinking about 28 to 30 services a week. There. That's a lot of church time. And in the early days, she said, I used to pace myself and, okay, I'm going to this, but the Holy Spirit says you need to be there. Now, this is how he told her. This is what he told her. We're going to bring it up Wednesday night again, so you need to be there. He said, you've been struggling with this, and you have been unhappy with this hindrance in your body, in your flesh. You're going to get an answer to the help you need for this year. Now, she listened to the whole message, sat down. She didn't really get anything out of the message per se, but she heard this scripture we just read, Philippians 2:13. She said, it lit me up. That's it. That's my key. And the Holy Spirit said, listen to this. This is the scripture that you need to put in your mouth to arrive at the end and fulfillment of my plan and purpose for you this year. This is the scripture you need to put in your mouth. When I heard those two, I lit up. That's the answer. Some people are struggling with their flesh, depression, discouragement, defiance. You know, the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit. That means there's a hostility, there's a war between who do you yield to? Do my body need to be in charge or do Jesus need to be in charge? But some of us are trying to do it out of willpower. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to pray more. And willpower won't work. Let me tell you right up front, first month of the year, willpower will not work. You got to put God to work. God will work by his grace, but you got to do the work. Because see, some people think, well, help me, Holy Spirit. God, you do it for me. You make me a witness. You make me a witness. You make me go win souls. Well, you're trying to convince yourself and psych yourself up, so to speak, to say, let me go do this. Let me go do this. Let me go try this. Let me go do this. Let me go try to lose weight. Let me try to be a witness. Let me try to live right. Let me try to deal with my anger and my temperament. Let me close my mouth and try to gossip. God talked to me after our fasting from negativity. He says many people failed those 3 weeks. Because they tried to do it by willpower. And right now, today, you're back at gossiping and negativity and complaining. You're calling things back into your body, calling things back into your life by claiming it and clamoring about it. And listen, how big is this? Y'all okay? Everybody okay? Let me read the scripture again out of the Amplified Classic. Not in your own strength. Everybody say, not in my own strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because he says sometimes you come here and you're all tired and hungover from trying. Satan's going to wear you out. He said, not in your own strength. Philippians 2:13, Amplified Classic. Look it up. Look it up with me. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work within you. That's helping. That's the helper at work. Because it's a capital H. It's God level work, which is so much better than you trying to do it all your own. Out of willpower. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, God at work in you, energizing, creating you the power and the desire. The power and the desire. He does the creating, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Come on, everybody, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for working. So every day I'm saying, God's working in me. God's working in me. To both do what? Will and do. Everybody say will and do. He said, because we failed this negativity, we tried to do it. We tried to stop gossiping, stop trying to say bad. And say, oh, my bad, or I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean to get involved in that. And we did it, but we weren't willing. Our flesh likes to cut up. It likes to act up. It likes to gossip, to call people names. People were cutting up because of somebody out of their control or out of their purview, we know who it is, was pardoning their family, pardoning their friends, and our flesh was cutting up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? God's not working. God's not working. Some of us couldn't resist the juicy temptation to gossip and talk about everything that was wrong with this and wrong with that, and this didn't happen, that didn't happen, or they're doing this. Why are they doing this? And the Holy Spirit said, that's demonic. That's demonic. So here's what, this is the scripture to put in your mouth to arrive at your end and purpose, in purpose and plan from God to put fully your full fulfilled destiny in 2025 and beyond. Now, if you're serious, you'd have highlighted it and wrote that down. Why are you saying that, Pastor? And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, why? He said, because you have to use your faith to deal with your flesh. You have to use your faith to deal with your flesh. I'll say it again. You have to use your faith to deal with your flesh. If you have a tendency to drink and get drunk, you need to use your faith and deal with your flesh. If you have a tendency to look at bad things on TV that you shouldn't, you need to use your faith to deal with your flesh. If you have a tendency to curse or to slander or malign people and use your tongue as a weapon, as a sword, not against the devil, but against other brothers and sisters, backbiting, backstabbing. You need to use your faith to deal with your flesh. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, both the will, because he said some people did it. They tried to hold the tongue. They tried to do it. They tried to constrain it. But the Lord said, no. They tried to do it in their own strength, and then they weren't willing, so it didn't count anyway. And some people tried to give, and some of us have been trying to tithe, but we're not willing to tithe. Remember, we said, you got to deal with, you got to dominate, and you got to discipline this flesh. Because our flesh, brothers and sisters, will disqualify us for the call and the divine assignment in and on our lives in 2025 and beyond. He said, you'll find yourself on the spiritual junk heap because you've accepted being discouraged and depressed and disobedient. We've accepted it. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. Come on, everybody say, thank you, Lord, that you're working in me with the power and desire to do what pleases you in Jesus' name. It's not pleased when his children aren't overcoming. It's not pleased when his children, the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is to be a witness. He's not pleased when you're not witnessing or you're putting off strange light. That's not like Jesus. It's not like Jesus for you to be discouraged and depressed. That's not like Jesus for you to be in all despair, hopeless, acting like you're helpless. That's not like Jesus. Some people think, well, Pastor, how do you remember so many scriptures? I don't try to remember it up here. Because, see, that's what he said another thing. Some people are trying to do it up here when they haven't done it here. Some people are trying to do it out here when it hasn't changed in here. We said that last week. The Holy Spirit works inside, counsels you inside, not from outside. The Holy Spirit's going to help you change in here. What is he going to change? Your willingness, your want to, I want to do it. I want to witness. I want to be a light for Jesus. I want to share Jesus' life, Jesus' love, Jesus' life. I want, Holy Spirit, I want you to use me anytime, anywhere, without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. God's working in me. Somebody say, God's working in me. And when you get to handling your spouse or your friends a little bit too roughly, you need to back off and say, forgive me, God's working in me. God's working in me. No, don't say God's working in you, because you're not responsible for them. You say, God's working in me. God's working in me. God's working. Come on. Somebody be saying that with me. Come on. Say, God's working in me. God's working in me. We don't need to leave January without God working. And some, unfortunately, in this room and online, have God unemployed. You got God in the unemployment line when he says, I'll work in you. And listen to me. Yes, Lord, I say that. You don't like certain things about your nature or your flesh, your attitude of your flesh, and the things that the flesh pulls you in and puts you, and you're frustrated. You're frustrated when you get upset so quick and you fly off of the handle and you can't manage your emotions and your temperament. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit, you've not allowed me to help you. You've not allowed the God who is promised help and work in you to work in you. Everybody say, he's working in me. Thank you, Father God. He's working in me. You've got to put this scripture in your mouth now. I couldn't wait till Wednesday. The Holy Spirit said, do it now. You've got to use this tongue as a mixer and a stirrer and put that word in you. Driving to work, God is working in me. When you get tempted to think evil of the boss and all your coworkers who are cussing and fussing and complaining and talking all kind of ugly stuff and gossiping, you got to say what? God is working in me. When you get that phone call, you know they got some juicy gossip to come. What do you got to say? God is working in me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because does anybody want to be disqualified? Now let's turn there. Turn there, and we'll get back to our lesson real quick. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. Look at it in the New King James. Look at this. Because every new season puts a greater demand on our flesh. Some of us have lost loved ones. New season. Some of us we've moved as a church into hotels. New season. Some of us have certain situations that we're dealing with. Job. Promotions, pay raise, new season. Everybody say new season. Every new season puts a greater demand on your flesh. You're going to need help making the necessary changes and adjustments to your flesh. My flesh doesn't want to do that. I don't want to come early to pray. I don't want to come early to set up. I don't want to come early, come good out there on an off day and go witness to somebody. I don't want to come back to prayer. I'm tired. I want to sleep. I don't want to. How dare the pastor ask you for extra money the beginning of the year? You know, we just ran out of Christmas. Don't even ask me to go to a Winter Bible Seminar or Southwest Supernatural Leadership Conference. I don't want to. every new season puts a greater demand on our flesh, more pressure. There was a story about a young girl who had somebody had threw a rock and hit her teeth. I'm gonna get to that scripture in just a minute. Y'all getting some? Y'all, everybody good? And it broke her tooth. It was one of her permanent tooth. She was about 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. One of her permanent tooth had come in, and the rock chipped it, cracked her tooth. Well, she had to go to dentist. And this is the image I want to give you. So she's in the dentist chair. He had already deadened her up and stuff. And he says, sometimes when I push that cracked tooth back up in, it can come back together. He's a professional. He's a dentist. But he said that when he tried to do that, that pressure. Anybody been in a dentist lately? You know, what are the things we hate, right? The pressure, right? They're putting the pressure up. And so the little girl, she grabbed his hand. She grabbed his hand, and he said, honey, I know you're trying to help me, but this is work best because I'm the dentist if you let me do the work. Y'all got it, right? See, what's going to come out best this year if you let the Lord do it. Now, does it mean I sit around lazy, do nothing? He helps you witness. He helps you work. He helps you pray. He doesn't do the praying for you, but he'll help you pray. Holy Spirit will help you pray. He doesn't do the witnessing for you because we've all been carrying the Holy Spirit, some of us, for years, decades. He's not going to force you. He's not going to do the witnessing for you. He's going to help you witness. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here with me? Praise God. Let's read the scripture. Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run. Everybody say run. Look at your neighbor and say run. Look at somebody else and say, are you running? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, I'm telling you right up front, last Sunday of this year, January 26th, you're not running the way to obtain it if you're yielding to your flesh. If you're going to try to pray harder, give more, try to do better, get that out of your vocabulary. Everybody say, God is working in me. And everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. How many things? You're not staying up all night on social media. Then they do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. In other words, don't shadow box. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline. Everybody say, discipline. What are you discipline? My body, and bring it to subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Don't disqualify you. Now, I wrote this down. We can become disqualified if you put spiritually illegal substance in your body. Immorality, indecency, isolation, insubordination, indolence, that means being lazy. I'm not going to read and meditate in the word. I'm not going to keep up with the daily Bible read. I don't care. I don't care to pray. I'm not going to pray in the spirit. I'm not going to witness or share my faith. It should bother all of us if we take a week and we find out we're walking in here on Sunday and I haven't shared my faith last week. It should bother us. I'm not going to give my tithes and offering. I'm not going to walk in unity and one accord. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. We can disqualify ourselves when we run the wrong way, when we run out of our lane. Sometimes we're too busy because we take up too much responsibilities. You know, something my wife said to me this week, Pastor Cynthia, you know, that we have to be temperate in all things, and part of that is with our time. We're not supposed to squander our time in things that don't pertain to our responsibilities. That's why the devil and demons will have you surfing on the on social media for hours, and you just wasted hours of time. And all you think about is shopping or getting somebody else that somebody else has. Woo! Anybody mad at me? Everybody good? You disqualify for the running when you trip another runner, when you run off the track. We call it rebellion, delayed and partial obedience. That's disobedience. And trying to do it out of your own willpower is running the wrong way. You're trying to do it out of your own strength, and it will not do it. And when you try it through the energy of your flesh, you end up chewing on your brothers and sisters and loved ones. Because if you do things after the flesh, what's going to result? More flesh. Everybody say, he's working on me. He's working in me. He's working in me. Is God working? Now, this is a divine assignment right now. You got to put God to work on you. Get it. Get your Father God and the Holy Spirit out of the unemployment line. Put him to work. We often say your faith must go to work before you go to work. Is it? When you get up early tomorrow, whatever you got responsibility to do, put the Lord to work. Put the Holy Spirit to work. Put your faith to work. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because your faith is what has to work on this flesh. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You stand to your feet. You can stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll cover the next.